I remember Adam Edwards inviting me to his 5th birthday party, and I said I was busy. Sorry, Adam, let me check my diary. Oh, it's just impossible. I'm in Berlin. I really hoped I'd have a sister at some point because I was going to be too shy to find someone to marry. If there could just be someone born in this house who I could settle down with, that would be ideal. My mum and dad were advised by Mrs. Posner at the school parents' evening to send me to a Saturday morning stage school called Stardust to bring me out of my shell. I guess I must have said, I don't want to go to Stardust, as I remember my mum saying, what if I promised to sit outside the whole time you're there? I have no memory of anything that happened in that class, just walking in and looking back at my mum sat in the corridor. Yet something magical must have happened. I guess a bunch of stardust was sprinkled over my terrified head because after a few months, I began to feel comfortable volunteering to be on stage. I learned that performing in front of a group of people was safe, though I still wasn't able to deal with one person at a time. At this point, I may have unconsciously decided that finding one person to be in a relationship with was going to be impossible, so getting better at performing in order to become famous was essential. And then I'd never be lonely, because there'd always be fan mail.
I bought a new flat about 2 years ago. In this flat, in the bathroom, there are two sinks. I thought that would bring me some joy. It is a constant reminder. And so what I've had to do, this is what I'm doing now in my life. I'm actually doing this. I'm using both sinks. I now, every day, brush my teeth in the left sink and in the right one, mainly cry.
At 11, I was too old for Stardust and began attending the Harlequin Theatre School and Agency. I may not have continued my Saturday morning stage school education, but my favourite TV show, The Big Breakfast, had just started and looked like the most fun anyone could have. More than fun, it was unconventional. It looked like freedom. I still didn't have any conscious understanding of why I needed to be so free, but I took every class that Harlequin offered. Presenting a TV show wasn't taught at Harlequin, so I studied Chris Evans. I began to dress like him, even though he dressed like a clown. I hosted my own version of The Big Breakfast in my bedroom, doing links into a camcorder while holding a clipboard and making jokes about members of a crew who cheered me in my head. I did anything that I thought could be a way into the television. Despite not being able to sing, I got the role of Pharaoh in Joseph in the annual school musical, and I put all my energy into being as funny as possible while repressing some very confusing feelings for Joseph. I learned to juggle, and became very upset when my mum refused to let me have a unicycle for my birthday. Eddie Izzard had been a street performer before he became a famous comedian, and if I couldn't unicycle, I felt it could hold me back. I went to see TV shows being filmed. My mum and I went to watch the National Lottery, even though it only lasted 15 minutes. I was thrilled by cameras moving across a floor. We went to watch the Vanessa Feltz show together, and I felt sure that despite it being a show presented by a woman in her 40s, four women in their 40s, and called the Vanessa Feltz show, I should really be the host.
The subject up for debate that day was, should I murder my husband? At the beginning of the show, the floor manager told us that the best opinion today will win a bottle of champagne. So there's everything to play for. Should she or shouldn't she murder her husband? 20 minutes go by and people say some very interesting things. And I, at about 14 years old, stand up and say, I think you shouldn't murder your husband because you could go to prison. And I won a bottle of champagne.
At 13, I did my first stand-up gig at the Harlequin Biannual Variety Show. 2 years earlier, I had sung and danced in the Chicago number Razzle Dazzle, wearing a silver sequin waistcoat and a matching top hat. I was actually the stand-in for a former student who didn't have time for the rehearsals, but apparently was going to perform the song on the night. I assumed he wouldn't turn up, but when the night came, he was placed centre stage and I was given a spot on the side, which was sold as generous. There was no need for me to be included, but I could dance along in the corner, dressed as a small version of the main singer, like a little monkey person. By the time my second chance at making a name for myself at the Harlequin Variety Show came around, I wouldn't even let puberty get in the way. My body kept trying to tell me that I fancied boys, and I had other stuff to deal with. My bar mitzvah, my parents' divorce, the biannual variety show. I didn't feel there was also time to fall for Leonardo DiCaprio from Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. Better to begin a stand-up career and get into the television. Having now checked the dates, it seems Romeo and Juliet didn't actually come out until I was 17, so this is a false memory, and I apologise. I think the truth is I managed to repress any sexual thoughts from even awakening until I was 17, and then rendered helpless by the moving image of Leonardo DiCaprio's hair falling over his eyes as some fish swam by. It's possible I could have seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape at 13, but I think I only discovered Leo's early work much later. I'd go to the video shop and rent out every film with DiCaprio in. I remember thinking, there's going to be a record of this, it's a worry. People will say, you're in love with Leonardo DiCaprio, it says so on your video club card. When Titanic came out, I went to see it four times.